We can now have the question and answer session.
There are a couple of rules to be observed. The speakers will have to stand up, identify themselves, and give the name of their publication. Because I expect a fusillade of questions, I think it should be one question per person. The question preferably should be directed to one particular speaker. And as I mentioned before, please be brief and do not try to give the answer to your own question. That should be left to the four eminent gentlemen who enlightened us to a great detail. So, fire away. Yeah.
My name is Javed, and I'm not from any publication. I just happened to read your advertisement in Times of India and thought I'll spend a good afternoon here. In any case, my question is directed to Mr. Dr. Zakir Naik. But before that, I want to clarify a point said by Mr. Sahani, said that Taslima has been quoted wrongly. In any case, if you could see the 31st January 94 Time magazine issue reported by Mr. Fazan Ahmad, there she has said that the sun revolves around the earth. Okay, and how can we believe such unscientific thing if it is in the Quran? And secondly, she has said she has blamed Islam for the high rate of female infanticide in Bangladesh. I think these are, is it in the Quran? Can you clarify?
Dr. Javed has posed two questions. It depends upon the chairperson whether he allows me to answer both or not. I will answer the.
So he
has
asked two questions.
Oh, it won't be permitted. Only one question. The first question he said was in the Time magazine, which happens to be one of the most authentic magazines in the world, one of the most authentic magazines. I do agree it was reported on the 31st of January that he said that Quran mentioned that the sun revolves around the earth. And if we believe in such teachings, how can it progress? I do agree with the second statement. If you have belief in such statements, how will you progress? But regarding the first part of the allegation, that the Quran mentions that the sun revolves around the earth, I want proof. Kul hatu burhanakum. Let the producer prove. Where does the Quran say that? What she is referring to, brother, is mainly a verse in the Quran, the Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter number 21, verse number 33, which says, هو الذي خلق الليل والنهار والشمس والقمر كل في فلك يسبحون. That it is Allah who has created the night and the day, the sun and the moon, each one traveling in its own orbit. The same thing is repeated in Surah Yasin, chapter number 36, verse number 40. كُلُّن فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. Each one traveling in orbit with its own motion. The Quran does not say that the sun revolves around the earth. The Quran says the sun and the moon, each one traveling in its own orbit. The Arabic word used is يَسْبَحَ, coming from the root word sabaha, describing the motion of a moving body. If you say a man is doing sabaha on the floor, it means he is not standing, it means he is walking or running. If you say a man is doing sabaha in water, it does not mean floating, it means he's swimming. Same way, if you use the word sabaha for a heavenly body, it means rotating about its own axis. The Quran mentions the sun and the moon rotate, they travel in the motion that they revolve and they rotate about its own axis. Now again, this verse had put me a little bit doubt because I had passed my SSE, I had passed my ICSE in 1982 from St. Peter's School. And there in geography I learned that the sun did not rotate. The sun revolved, fine, but it was stationary. It did not rotate about its axis. And the Quran mentioned that the sun rotates about its axis. So I was a bit worried. And then I had to do a little bit of research. And then I came to know that according to the recent advances in science and astronomy, we come to know that even the sun rotates about its axis. And to prove it, you can take equipment in the laboratory, and since you can't look at the sun directly, the image of the sun can be put on a tabletop. And the sun has got certain holes, like black spots. And that black spot takes about 25 days to rotate completely. So in short, the sun takes about 25 days to rotate. So the Quran is not backward, it is more up to date. I want to ask Taslima Nasreen that who could have written this
1400 years ago that the sun and the moon were some power comer, Kulvan Sifalakan Yasbaun, that the sun and the moon, each one travel in its own orbit, means revolving and rotating. After, the Quran does not mention at all that the sun rotates or revolves around the earth. That's a misinterpretation. Since the chairman has given me permission, regarding the second part of the question, and she has alleged that it is because of Islam that there is such a high rate of infanticide, female infanticide in Bangladesh. She alleged that. I want you to tell me, quote me one verse of the Quran which says that you should kill female children. In fact, according to the BBC report, in the program assignment, the title of that small clipping was Let Her Die. And a British reporter, Emily Beckenin, she came from America and she did a survey on female infanticide, and India happens to have the maximum number. And according to her, every day, more than 3,000 fetuses are being aborted on being identified that they are female. 3,000 fetuses in our mother country. And if you multiply this by 365, more than 1 million fetuses on being recognized that they are female are being aborted. Why don't you read it in the headlines in our papers? Let the papers give it on the front page every day until the female infanticide is stopped. And according to the Tamil Nadu government report, out of the live births of female children, out of 10, 4 are put to death. 4 are put to death. It has to be a Britisher to come and tell us Indians what's the rate of female infanticide in our country. Now coming to the point, what does Quran speak about female infanticide? She cannot quote any verse. I challenge her to quote any verse from the Quran which says female children should be put to death. In fact, if you read Surah Takwir, see, I'm giving this quotation. Tasneem Manasreen only says Quran says that, Quran says this. How can a layman who has not read the Quran, or even if he has read the Quran, where will he find which verse says this, what he's saying? So you have to take it for granted. Give benefit of doubt that the Quran does say that the sun rotates around the earth, or you have to agree that it believes in human infanticide. If you read the Quran in Surah Takwir, chapter number 81, verse number 8 and 9, it says that when the female child, when she's buried alive, and when she cries out, for what crime has she been killed? On the day of judgment, she cries out, for what crime she has been killed? So female infanticide has been completely forbidden in Islam. In fact, all sorts of female infanticide and killing of children has been prohibited. It's mentioned in Quran, in Surah Al-Isra, chapter number 17, verse number 31, as well as in Surah An'am, chapter number 6, verse number 51, which says, kill not your children for want of sustenance. It is Allah who provides you and your children for sustenance. In fact, Quran rebukes the thought of a person rejoicing on the birth of a male child and his face being sad on the birth of a female child. It's mentioned in Surah An'am, chapter number 16, verse number 58 and 59. Hope that answers the question, brother.
Father Ferreira wants to say something on this particular issue. I just want to make a general comment, which I think is important at this stage. We often hear people say, oh, the Quran says this, which is an obscurantist thing. Oh, Hinduism says that, which is against progress. Oh, you can prove these things from the Bible and so on. Be very careful, firstly, when you hear things. A, often these are vague statements made, as Dr. Michael pointed very clearly, which have no reference at all. That's the first thing. Secondly, often religious scriptures are used by politicians and are used by obscurantists to support their own prejudices. Classic instance of racism and the Bible. You know that a lot of Western Christianity through the centuries has been racist, and they have used the Bible to defend it. It's absolutely false, but here it is politics which comes to use religion for its own purposes. Remember what I said at the beginning. Every religion has a liberative element which can emancipate you, but can also oppress you, depending on how these things have been twisted. So I make this general comment, because often you hear statements like this, and then they will blame, okay, Muslims, see, Muslims, whatever, or Christians, of course, Christians, or Hindus like this, or Sikhs, whatever. Be very careful, because this is the typical kind of prejudice, I say, which only creates turbulence and does not help to clear any doubts. More questions?
Ustaz Sativak from Communism Come Back, Dr. Zakinath, wanted to ask him whether he considers the attack on Dr. Bedas for saying that Hindus are not Kafirs but Murtads by respecting his life. So was that a fundamentalist attack on his life and freedom of expression or not?
Please repeat the question. Please repeat the question.
Dr. Veda.
Dr. Veda of the Khudabakhsh Library, he was checking with his life, his freedom of expression curb when he said that Hindus are not Kafirs but Murtads.
Sister has posed the question that so the person, Mr. Vedas, who said that Hindus are not Kafirs and they are Murtads. Therefore, is it right that the fundamentalist, the threatened his life? Is that a curb of freedom of expression or not? And life. Again, two, three questions. We are in the first part that whatever that Mr. Vedas said, that Hindus are not Kafirs but they are Murtads, does not have any base because he may not be well versed in the Arabic language. What is the meaning of Kafir? I told you that Kafir means a person who conceals the truth or rejects the truth. It does not mean that a Kafir has to be a Hindu. He can be a Hindu, he may not be a Hindu. I will come to the complete answer. So only if I justify the meaning can I justify my answer, sister. If I don't justify the meaning, my answer will have no relevance. Because Quran always says, "Qul hatu burhanakum," produce your proof. Why giving the answer, give your proof. Without proof, I don't give comment. So firstly, Kafir does not mean a Hindu. It may be a Hindu, may not be a Hindu. And what is the meaning of Murtad? Murtad is a Muslim who, after he has accepted the faith, he converts to another faith. That's called a Murtad. So, Mr. Bedar's explanation has got no relevance at all. Neither is it correct literally, it does not have neither a head nor a tail. Regarding whether those Muslim people, first, were they fundamentalists or not, I don't know. Were they right in putting a death sentence? I would say without proof, no one has the right to put a death sentence. If they gave an opportunity to clarify himself, and if he faltered, or if he had abused the Quran, then it's a different question. If he was not able to clarify, depending upon what proof did Dr. Bedar give to the Muslim students. Otherwise, I would say that without any proof, if those Muslims have called for his death, it is completely wrong. It's against Islam. Hope that answers the question, sister. Fine, you can ask me a question. I thought my answer is over. Second question, I'll give a second answer. If it's based on truth, does a person have a right to pass a death sentence? It is like you asking me if the Indian government has proof that a person who has told the secret of the country, of the army, of the navy, of the air force, has told to somebody else, and if he's caught and it's proved that he actually betrayed the country, the Indian government will punish with proof. Same way, if there is proof that he has betrayed or spoken something wrong, if there is proof, then I feel he requires punishment. Hope that answers the question. That's the second part of the question. Is it death sentence? Or if it's a first part, no problem. Can he give death sentence? See, every crime, the punishment given are various. Like for example, if you're in the train, if you pull the chain without any reason, 500 rupees fine or and 3 months imprisonment. So if you're caught, one judge may give you 500 fines, the other judge may give you 500 fines and 1 month. Some judge may give you only 3 months, some judge may give you both. The punishment differs from each judge to each judge. Regarding what does religious fundamentalism talk about if someone blasphemes, you haven't used that word, but I'm using it. Someone blasphemes, what does the Quran says? I quote the Quran. The Quran in Surah Maidah, chapter number 5, verse number 33 states that the punishment for anyone who wages war against Allah, against God Almighty and His Messenger, or strives does jihad. Strive with might and main, with might and main, to create mischief in the land. His punishment is either execution, or crucifixion, or chopping off of limbs of the opposite side, or exile. This is the law given in one verse of the Quran. Other verses say, it is possible to speak with Udu ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah. Wal mawizatil hasna. Wada dillum billati ya ahsan. It is said in Surah Nahl, chapter number 16, verse number 125. Invite all to the way of thy Lord with wisdom and beautiful preaching, and argue with them, and debate with them, and reason with them in ways that are best and most gracious. If you ask me, what would I do to Tafsirin Ahmad Nasreen? Since Quran gives me option, I would say, I would call up for a public debate. That depends upon the judge. The punishment may differ on every judge. Every punishment, if enough proof is given, if you read, since you asked the topic of religious fundamentalism, if you refer to the Bible says, and Father can correct me if I'm wrong, in the third book of the Old Testament, in Leviticus, chapter number 24, verse number 16, it says that any person who blasphemes the name of thy Lord, he should certainly be put to death. Certainly be put to death. And the congregation. Father, if you want the Bible is available here. If you think I'm misquoting, I'm quoting verbatim. Father, from whichever version you want, the King James version or the New Year version. I'd like to complete the quotation. If you're a fundamentalist Christian, you have to follow the Bible. The Bible says in Leviticus, chapter number 24, verse number 16, that anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord, he shall certainly be put to death, and all the congregation shall surely stone him, even the stranger. For anyone who is born in the land and blasphemes the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death. So if you're a good Christian, what does the Bible say? Anyone who blasphemes the Lord, he shall be put to death. There may be other options also given in the Bible, but this is one of them.
It's an important point, just let me give you a slightly different point of view. There's such a thing in the world as mob justice or rough justice or lynching. You're familiar with these terms. In the United States, for example, for many years, even to very recently, if you were a black, a group of white men could just say, he tried to rape my daughter, and they would lynch you on the spot. So in the same way, please realize that there's such a thing as rough justice, and a lot of this is taking place in sometimes in Islamic countries. I have here a report on which comes in from Pakistan, and the title is Blasphemy Laws Are So Vague That Anyone Can Be Murdered. I can give this to anyone if you want to make Xerox copies of it. It's unfortunate. Probably the only country in the Muslim world right now that has enough of ulema to handle these cases against the Sharia in Iran. That's why you never hear cases of this in Iran. But many other instances where you appeal to the Sharia or you appeal against to an interpretation of the Quran, and you find invariably that Maulana are much too politicized, and a lot of this thing comes from politics. So therefore, to say that Islam is responsible again is wrong. You've got to see the political context of a country, like Bangladesh, for example, like Pakistan, for example, like Algeria, for example, the Islamic Salvation Front, and other places like this. So this is very important to keep in mind. The instances of Dr. Bayar, etc., is what you call mob justice. I don't like you, you blaspheme, come out, I'll kill you. And this is what they do, you're killed. Who has the right to execute? Only the state, after the due process of trial. The trouble is, in many countries, their democratic process is so weak, and you find the saw in Bangladesh today. There's a fighting going on between the Prime Minister and the other opposition leader, between Zia and Hasina. And this is one reason why these things are taking place. Now they're coming out and say, no, no, don't ever threaten the woman, or just be careful. Note that the Maulana who has put that reward of 50,000 takas has not yet been arrested. There are three persons who have put a reward upon the head of Tasleem, but there's only the public notification has gone out that action can be taken, but no one has taken action yet. You see, many of these things do happen. And recently you had a case, I told you, picked up in the papers, an Ayatollah, Khomeini, I think, said that one Ayatollah can issue a fatwa which negates the previous fatwa. Why is it taking such a long time to say this? Huh? Why is it taking a long time in politics? You know from your own study of the whole Salman Rushdie case that the reason why Ayatollah Khomeini issued that fatwa was entirely political. You know it. So don't make Islam a scapegoat for the tricks of politicians. Don't make that. Christians have done this, plenty of examples of that. Hindus have done this, plenty of examples of that. Muslims are doing this, plenty of examples. Sikhs have done it, all right. You always have this kind of continual tension between religion and politics, and one will use the other. I'll give you plenty of examples from Christianity if you are patient to wait the evening. Plenty of examples. See? So it's important to keep these two things in mind. Rough justice, one thing, and there's no way in which you can excuse this kind of thing. But unfortunately, governments are too weak to enforce it, and that's why you have what you have.
Mr. Wagle.
डॉक्टर नायक ने डिबेटिंग स्किल्स को बहुत सारे दिखाए हैं. मैं उनसे हाँ या ना में जवाब चाहता हूँ. तस्लीमा के खिलाफ जिन लोगों ने फतवा इश्यू किया, उस अमानवीय फतवे का आप समर्थन करते हैं या निषेध करते हैं?
Brotherhood asked me the question that do I agree with the death sentence given by certain people, whatever it is, maybe two, three or four, do I agree with the death sentence given on the head of Dr. Imam Nasri? In one word, believe me brother, I'm a Muslim fundamentalist, and Islam, my fundamentals of Islam do not allow me to give the answer in one word. Do not allow me. That's right. And then they will not answer. Because I will have to call her in the court of law, and after I've examined her, after I've interrogated her, and after she's given an equal opportunity to support herself, after she has been given an equal opportunity to support herself, can the death sentence be passed? Otherwise, no, I have not met her. I have not met her. If you have contact, you can get in front of me. I can't. Islam does not give me the permission, brother. Thank you very much. Thank you.
I'm not exactly a full-time journalist, but Dr. Nayak, do you think the people who have given this punishment, announced, pronounced, whatever, have given her that opportunity?
Brother has asked the question that have those people who have passed the death sentence, have they given her opportunity to clarify herself? I don't know. I don't know. Believe me, I don't know. Maybe, may not be. I don't know. I read in the papers, the newspaper, and all three. So, see, I'm speaking the truth. How do I know? I don't know personally. I read in the papers. In one paper, it mentions she's 29 years old. One paper says 31. One paper says 39. One paper says she's a plain MBBS doctor. The other paper says she's a gynecologist. The other paper says anesthetist. You ask me what is she, I say, I don't know.
कि बहुत सारे डॉक्टर नायक से हुए, इनसे पूछना चाहता हूँ. इन्होंने हिंदू धर्म के बारे में बहुत सारी बातें कही, सनातन हिंदू धर्म के बारे में, और हिंदू धर्म में रिफॉर्म हुए क्योंकि हिंदू धर्म बड़ा, हिंदू धर्म का, सनातन हिंदू धर्म का मन बड़े उदार, बड़ा उदार था, उन्होंने कहा. मुझे उनसे इतना ही पूछना है कि जो चारवाक से लेकर खुले आगरकर तक सारे रिफॉर्मिस्ट हुए, उन्हें जो तकलीफें झेलनी पड़ी, वो हिंदू धर्म के उदार मन की निशानी है या नहीं?
चारवाक से कहां तक?
अभी आज तक भी लिखिए आप.
इसका सीधा उत्तर यह है, मैंने पहले अपने वक्तव्य में कह दिया था कि वैचारिक विरोध के आधार पर शारीरिक कष्ट किसी को दिया जाए, इसका पहला उदाहरण गांधी हत्या का है. चारवाक को हम लोग बृहस्पति का अवतार मानते हैं.
सावित्री बाई फुले पर भी पत्थर फेंके गए थे. गांधी हत्या पहला उदाहरण नहीं है, चंबुक का भी पहले उदाहरण है. अगर करती तो शव यात्रा निकाली गई थी.
देखिए, ये सारे उदाहरण अंग्रेजी शिक्षा के आने के बाद के, इसलिए इन सब की जिम्मेदारी मैं अंग्रेजी शिक्षा को मानता हूँ. एक शंभुक का उदाहरण आप छोड़ दीजिए, एक शंभुक का उदाहरण आप छोड़ दीजिए. मैंने कहा वैचारिक विरोध के आधार पर, वैचारिक विरोध का जहां तक चारवाक का आपने नाम लिया, आप इतिहास में कहीं
फिजिकल टॉर्चर तो हर रिफॉर्मिस्ट को किया गया है.
आप मुझे बताइए चारवाक पर कौन से अत्याचार है और आप किस इतिहास के आधार पर?
चंबुक के बारे में थोड़ा सा एक्सप्लेनेशन दीजिए.
पहले आप चारवाक को वापस ले लीजिए.
मैं हर रिफॉर्मिस्ट को फिजिकल टॉर्चर किया गया है आज तक. जो जहाँ तक मैं अयोध्या तक बोलता हूँ कि अयोध्या के बारे में बात करने वाले जो लोग हैं और हिंदू धर्म में जो खराब नीतियां है या खराब अंधश्रद्धा है उनके खिलाफ बोलने वाले आज के जो आज तक के नए नौजवान है अंधश्रद्धा निर्मूलन समिति के, उनको भी फिजिकल टॉर्चर का सामना करना पड़ा है। यही मैं आपको कहता हूँ, क्योंकि ये आपकी बात सच नहीं है कि रिफॉर्मिस्ट को कोई तकलीफ नहीं दी गई और सिर्फ डिबेट चलाया गया या डायलॉग चलाया गया। फिजिकल टॉर्चर तो हुआ ही है और इसके तो इतने सारे उदाहरण है, आप इतिहास पढ़ के वो भी निकाल सकते हैं।
आपने चारवा से प्रारंभ किया, मेरी आपसे प्रार्थना, या आप बोले या मैं बोलूं, मेरी आपसे प्रार्थना है कि चारवा को किस प्रकार का कष्ट दिया गया ये आप किसी इतिहास के आधार पर हमें बता दीजिए, तो मैं आपके प्रश्न का उत्तर देने का या अपने विचार को सुधारने का दोनों प्रयत्न करने के लिए तैयार। आई एम ऑलवेज ओपन फॉर नोटिफिकेशन एंड करेक्शन। तो कोई मुझे बता दे कि चारवाक के इतिहास में कहां ये मिला हुआ है, या कम से कम आप स्वीकार करेंगे चारवाक को नहीं दिया गया कोई भी शारीरिक दंड बाद में हुआ। मैं इस आक्षेप से सहमत नहीं हूँ कि चारवाक का इतिहास मिटा दिया गया है, क्योंकि चारवाक को आप कृपा करके शांति से विचार कीजिए। चारवाक को हम लोग बृहस्पति का अवतार मानते हैं और चारवाक के नास्तिकवादों के जो सिद्धांत हैं वो बराबर तब से आज तक चले आ रहे हैं, और जहाँ तक मेरी भारतीय इतिहास की जानकारी है वहाँ तक चारवाक को या उनके अनुयायियों को, जैसा कि मैंने कहा अंग्रेजी शिक्षा प्रणाली आने के पहले तक वैचारिक विरोध के आधार पर कोई उनको तकलीफ दी गई है ऐसा मेरी जानकारी में आज तक नहीं है। अगर आप प्रमाणों के साथ कोई बात दें तो मैं या तो उसका उत्तर दे सकूंगा या मैं अपने विचार सुधार सकूंगा, मुझे इसमें कोई आपत्ति नहीं।
अच्छा,
संबोध पर अगर आप चाहें,
द स्पीकर आई थिंक हैज मेड हिज स्टैंड क्वाइट क्लियर, आई थिंक वी शुड गो फॉर अदर क्वेश्चन।
माय नेम इज जावेद आनंद, आई एम फ्रॉम कम्युनिज्म कॉम्बैट। Dr. Nayak has said repeatedly that the punishment for any crime depends on the gravity of the crime, and he has specifically talked about the American state and once about the Indian state, and saying for treason, if any official of the Government of India, employed by the Government of India, or any official employed by the Government of the United States reveals the secrets of the state which compromise the integrity and so sovereignty of that state, then he should be punished to death. And is there anything wrong with that? Or there has to be some punishment that follows. That is my impression. I sense that.
Yes.
Having said this, he then proceeds to make the point that Taslima Nasreen, for example, he says that there are so many contradictory reports in various papers that he can come to no conclusions whatsoever. Maybe he is also in doubt as to whether any Maulana has or has not passed a fatwa against Taslima Nasreen. But it seems to me that contained in that argument also is that if Taslima Nasreen has said anything against the Quran, because that is her firm belief, just as it is the firm belief of many other people that Quran is the word of Allah, then she can be tried by numerous authorities, including by Dr. Zakir Naik himself. If Taslima Nasreen were here today, he will know her age, he will know whether she is a gynecologist, whether she believes in Islam, etc., etc., at the end of which he can pronounce some punishment for her, which could also mean chopping off opposite limbs or head or exile or those four options. Now, if there are to be many centers of jurisdiction, I mean many, many people, whether it's a mullah or a pandit or a Shankaracharya or a pope or whatever it is, who can simultaneously decide what crime for what punishment, then I have a question. I come from the district of Allahabad, from a village in Allahabad, where there's a mosque in which I prayed for many, many years during my years. I know for a fact, most of us Muslims know for a fact, as also the Hindus of the village, that in that mosque on the outer boundary there are statues which could only have come from some temple or another. If some pandit from my village in Allahabad decides that a temple was destroyed here a few hundred years back or whatever it is, and for that crime that pandit sitting in that village decides that the Muslims of that village be killed, and all the Hindus kill all the Muslims or as many Muslims as they can, is there something wrong with it? Is this what he suggested?
If he asks, please repeat the question, it is going to be very difficult.
Well, I'll summarize it. Can there be many, many centers, can there be many, many centers of decision making in terms of what constitutes crime and what is punishment?
Brother, thank you for the short speech. In your short speech, you have asked at least 10, 15 questions, if not more. Whatever I can remember, one question, that's like all the previous things nullified. If I don't answer, don't blame me. Because I misquoted me saying,
that the Indian government can punish her to death. I didn't say that. Punishment. What punishment? Depends upon the law of the government. Coming to your second part. You said that even Dr. Zakir Naik can call her here, can ask her age, can ask her profession, and you said it in very good. Fine, fine, no problem. See, let me complete my answer. I gave you enough time to pose the question. Enough time, please give me a positive answer. And even Dr. Naik can sentence her to death or cut off her limbs, etc. No, Dr. Zakir Naik cannot. Dr. Zakir Naik cannot. I don't have the authority. I can give a fatwa. Please let me tell you what the meaning of fatwa. Again, you may not be aware of the word. Arabic word fatwa means opinion. But my opinion has got no value. Since we believe in freedom of speech, every individual has a right to his opinion, including me, including you, brother. You can, like Kushwant Singh offers her his home, he has a right to his opinion. I can't object. But I can't sentence her. Only a Qazi has a right to give judgment and the verdict. There's a world of a difference between fatwa and the verdict. Fatwa, I'd like to give the example, like suppose a lawyer, he gives his opinion to the judge, but the judge can differ from the lawyer. The fatwa need not be a judgment. Let me remind you that, brother. I may be an expert, which I'm not, I as a doctor cannot give a fatwa on Islam. Fatwa, in my personal opinion, yes, as an individual, but not as a scholar, neither as a judge, because I'm not a judge. Regarding your one summarized question, that can, and if I've forgotten the question, you can repeat, brother, that can the same crime have different punishments, or can different centers be set up for punishment? Correct, brother? Can you repeat the question, brother? In India first, then I come to Bangladesh. I'm sorry, again, he has misunderstood the Islamic law. In India, the Muslim Personal Law Board can only give judgment on personal issues like divorce, like marriage, like inheritance. They cannot pass their law on criminal cases because we have a common criminal law in India. So the question is basic. Regarding Bangladesh, I don't know, again, don't think I'm trying to avoid the question. Again, I don't know how many boards are held, how many courts of law are there in Bangladesh. But if you talk of Islam in the previous ages, there was something like Khilafat, there was a Khalifa, and he was the head. There may be small courts, like how we have a problem in the low court, you go to high court. If you have a problem in the high court, you go to Supreme Court. So there, the Khilafat, the main court was him. He was the Khalifa, he appoints the main chief judge, like how we have Supreme Court. If there any small court falters, you can go to chief one. But today, the Khilafat has been abolished. But maybe countries may be having their own way of low court, high court, Supreme Court. We have to analyze the history of the country. Hope that answers your question, brother. Here is a new question, brother. Hope my
bad. Your question is one question, that you cannot be confused about one issue, that somehow, however highly respected it may be, has not been made a judge or a small court or a high court or Supreme Court country of Bangladesh. Does he have a right to give a public call for the head of the human affairs?
If you had heard my answer correctly, with attention, you would have got the answer. I said everyone, including you and I, have the right to give fatwa. Fatwa means opinion.
Please let me complete. He gave a fatwa. His opinion was that he called for the head of Kasti Manasin.
That's right. Now 50,000 Tatars has just come now. First, your question did not include that. I answered that. Please let me answer, brother. Then I give you the opportunity. Does anyone have the right to call for anyone's head, even if it be a fatwa or opinion? Even by giving opinion, you cannot slander anyone, neither can you abuse anyone. If it's an Islamic country, a person, Taslim al-Nasreen, can sue that Maulana, saying that he please let me complete this. So see, I'm not interrupting your question. So if you please not interrupt my answer, you better. I'm just giving a general opinion of Islam. Please, sister, if you allow me. She has a right if it's an Islamic country. I don't know how far is Bangladesh an Islamic country, how far are they following the laws of Islam, I don't know. Maybe they are following, maybe not following. So she has a right if she thinks that the death sentence put on her head is wrong, she has a right to take her him to an Islamic court if there is one. And two, but let me link your answer with the comments laid down by the learned speaker, Father Pereira. He made a comment that it is very easy to frame anyone in the blasphemous law and sentence that person to death. Or taking the example of Tasim Nasreena, or Tasima Nasreen, sorry, that it is not very easy, as easy, Father Pereira has said, because if you produce a witness in the court of law, if the crime is a small crime, two witnesses are required. If the crime is great, four witnesses. And if any of those four witnesses falter, believe me, if any of those four witnesses falter during cross-examination, all four of them receive 80 lashes each. 80 lashes. It's not that easy. It's not as easy as we take an oath in the court of Indian government. And then you can lie. It's not that easy. You receive 80 lashes each. And believe me, it's very difficult to bear those lashes. It's not as easy as Father Pereira has made it sound. Hope that answers the question, brother.
Yes. No, I think we can.
Dr. Max, साजी दर्शी दो टाइम हम लोग एक ऐसे मुल्क में रहते हैं जहां पर बहुत सारे फिरके के बहुत सारे संप्रदाय के लोग रहते हैं और उसका अपना एक कॉन्स्टिट्यूशन है जिसने लोगों को सजा देने का अपना एक मयार मुकर्रर किया है ऐसे देश में रहते हुए क्या आप किसी को किसी भी किस्म की तस्दीक के कुरान की मजम्मत के लिए या उसकी गलत कहने के लिए क्या आप वो इस्लामी सजाए तजवीज करेंगे जो इस्लाम में कही गई है और क्या वो यहाँ पर इस मुल्क में जिसका अपना एक कॉन्स्टिट्यूशन है क्या वो सही हो सकती है
Brother, again, asked a similar sort of question that since we have different religions, can every religion follow their own law? Or suppose if anyone has abused the Quran, can you follow the Islamic law? Again, brother, let me clarify. Wherever the criminal law is in any country, you take whether Saudi Arabia, whether Iran, whether Pakistan, whether America, whether England, whether India, the criminal law has to be common. The civil law can change. The civil law can change. The criminal law in Saudi Arabia is same by the Muslim or non-Muslim. In India, the criminal law is same by the Muslim or non-Muslim. So you cannot have a different criminal law. You can give your comment, but you can give your opinion whether that person should be given punishment of 1 year or 2 years of death sentence, whatever it is, but you can't practice it. Because you have to practice a common criminal law. If it's an Islamic state, then you have to abide by the Quran. You cannot deviate from the Quran. But since India is not an Islamic country, we cannot implement the Quranic law where it comes to criminal punishment. Hope that answers the question, brother.
I am Maria Fresh, a religious sister, and I want to ask Mr. Ashok Sahini Sahani, why did you translate the book Raja into Marathi?
At last, a simple question.
Will I translate it? One thing is because I like the book. Another thing was it was some kind of an atonement because Taslima has the courage to write the kind of book she wrote. The minority is being put to trouble, a lot of suffering, torture in her own country, which is a Muslim majority country. Whereas almost the same, or maybe to a lesser degree, there may be some difference. The same things happened in the December and January riots in Bombay. But I found that no literary person here. I'm a Marathi. No Marathi author has had the courage to say that it has put us all to shame. But Seema had that courage and she did it.
Question to Dr. Zakir Naik. The fundamentalists of Bangladesh are themselves responsible for bringing Taslima Nasrin into the limelight by announcing hefty prices on her head. If they had instead ignored her and allowed her to have her say, this issue would not have risen at all, and perhaps she would not have come here to discuss this subject.
Brother asked a very good question, that if the so-called inward-comer Muslim fundamentalists, so-called, I say, if they would not have announced the price on her head, we would not have gathered here today. I agree with you. But you put the blame on the Muslim fundamentalists, I put the blame on the media. Difference of opinion. If even if an obscure organization like BSSP, Bangladesh Sahaba Sainik Parishad, who knew of it? No one. Even if the leader of that organization, Maulana Habibur Rahman, and I do know, brother, that somebody has called for that sentence. If an obscure person, an insignificant organization, calls for that sentence, why does the Indian media have to highlight it? Front page. Imagine front page news. According to the High Commission, this is I'm quoting from Delhi newspaper, according to the High Commission of Bangladesh, he said that the amount of news that the Indian media has given to Taslima Nasreen is not even 1% of the news that's there in the Bangladesh newspaper. So, you blame, you ask me, are the Muslim fundamentalists to blame? You may blame them. I would say, even if they are to blame, or whether they are not, irrespective of that, I believe the journalists of India and the papers of India, they are much more wiser. So they should not have highlighted it, and neither would be here to discuss the matter. Yes, brother.
The Indian media has highlighted this issue in order to save her life, because she is the only person. She's a woman and she's helpless in front of all these religious fanatics. So the Indian media is only trying to save her life.
Please let me answer, brother, then you can continue the question. Brother said the Indian media tried to save from an obscure organization, insignificant Maulana Habibur Rahman. So today if you hear someone in the train saying, I'm going to kill the Prime Minister, you're going to get the headlines in your paper. No, it doesn't. It's a rhetoric question, brother. I don't want you to answer. Brother, please. Brother, you have a right to ask a question later on. Let me complete my answer. So you said the Indian media... See, that's my opinion. My opinion can be wrong, brother. It's my opinion. I'm not saying my opinion has to be right. Some people in the audience may agree with my opinion, some people may not. So I feel that any insignificant person, suppose... If maybe the call was given by the leading organization, then you have to think over it. I'm not commenting on the ban. I'm not commenting on the death of whether right or wrong. I'm saying, why did we have to give it headlines? Because of sensationalism. That's what I say. That's my opinion, brother. If you like it, you can take it. If you don't like it, you can refuse it. That's my opinion, brother.
I have a correction. The call for the sentence to Taslima Nasreen is not that insignificant as he is trying to make out. The call has been given officially by the political party Jamaat-e-Islami in Bangladesh.